Good morning. May I please report? My name is Michael Sinek from Kearney. I'm here this morning representing Ronald Hobbles, the petitioner and appellant in this case. Mr. Hobbles appealing from the decision of the Adams County Court in an original guardianship action. He appeals the denial of his request to be appointed as guardian for his adult sister, Vicki Hobbles. He thinks that that was contrary to Vicki's expressed wishes, that the court would appoint her brother Ron, and he's requesting the court would reverse it on his finding and judgment of the court, which appointed Karen Rasmussen, a non-related third party, to be guardian conservator, and asked that the court remand this case back to Adams County Court with directions to appoint Ronald Hobble as guardian. Issues, I think, really are straightforward. Should Ron Hobble be appointed as guardian or not? The sub-issues, I think, are whether or not he has priority, is competent, and is his appointment in Vicki Hobble's best interest. Secondary issue is whether or not the court should post bond. I don't think that's really contested. Vicki Hobble is 61 years old. Her parents are deceased. She's never been married. She has no children. So Ronald Hobble is her only sibling and her only closest living relative. Her mother died in 2015. She had been living with her mother prior to that time, and then she went to live at Goldbeck Towers, which is part of Good Samaritan Village in Hastings. Prior to her mother's death, Ronald Hobble had his mother and his sister come out to live with him in San Diego for about 5 to 6 months every year. Mr. Hobble had been a resident of Kearney. He retired and moved to San Diego, and so when it was cold here in Nebraska, Mom and Vicki would come live with him in San Diego, and then he'd bring them back about Easter time in April, and then he would come spend 3 to 4 weeks in the summer with them. So he has a very close relationship with Vicki and spent a lot of time with her. They suspended the trip to San Diego the year the mother died because Mom was the personal representative of the estate. He worked to get her house ready to sell in Hastings during that year. Vicki also indicated that they had a very close relationship. They talked daily by telephone. Vicki indicated that she wanted Ron to be her guardian. She testified to that at the trial. At trial, it was stipulated that a guardian conservatorship was needed. The court, upon hearing the evidence, appointed the third party, Karen Rasmussen, who is not related to be the guardian. I think the court erred by appointing the non-relative to be the guardian in this case, and also by considering information that was in an unreceived guardian ad litem report. I also think that the court erred by not requiring the background checks of an unrelated third party. Review, of course, is for error occurring on the record. I think that this is a case, although they're few and far between, where there was error on the record. The decision, I think, does not conform to the law. Most importantly, it's not supported by competent evidence. I think the lack of the evidence in the case, specifically regarding the qualifications of the unrelated third party, is what makes the decision arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable.
Mr. Sinek, I know you raised the issue of priority. As I read the statute, in order for your client to have priority, there has to be evidence that the prospective ward lived with him for 6 months prior to filing a petition. Would you agree that's the subsection he would need to follow?
It is. I think the priority is the weakest argument on behalf of Mr. Hobble. She did not have a will or power of attorney. She hadn't made any nomination.
So do we then go down to the paragraph that talks about the court acting in the best interest of?
I think you could look at 2627 sub B sub 5, which is one you're referring to. If there's any relative of the incapacitated person in whom he or she has resided for more than 6 months prior to the filing of the petition, that statute doesn't say immediately prior to the filing. I didn't find any case law that interpreted that statute. So she did live with Mr. Hobble for 6 months preceding, not immediately preceding. And I think that's an area of interpretation maybe for the court. I think it's the weakest argument I have, but that would be the priority statute. But I do agree with you. The rest of this argument is to go down to the appointment criteria in 3026.27 sub C. I indicated previously, I think Judge Meade tried to make maybe to make a middle of the road decision where there really wasn't a controversy existing to start with. I think the issues in the case are framed by the pleadings. Ms. Hobble filed a petition. There was no written objection. There was no written nomination of a third party given. under that, under the Hank really the pleading didn't even permit the judge to consider the appointment of a third party, or at least not with the pleadings that were in place. But even if he could have considered the appointment of a third party, the record is devoid of any evidence whatsoever regarding the third party. As I indicated previously, the statute requires you have to have the National Criminal Records check, you have to have the sex offender registry check.
Does it appear to you that there are really two relatives who really care about the care and really want to consider their best interest? Is this only pre-exclusion or your adoption?
I think that there was never any nomination of a cousin to be considered as a guardian, which is what would preclude her from being considered at this hearing. If one of the interested parties, I think the interested parties in the case are Von Hobble, brother, Vicki Hobble, representing Fruit Garden ad litem, and there were no other interested parties. If any of the interested parties had objected to Mr. Hobble's appointment, filing a written objection, or made a written nomination, I think I would have framed that as an issue before the court. It wasn't ever raised as an issue during the pleadings.
Judge Mead's order, as I read it, sort of intimated that there was this pull between the brother and the cousin, but as you say, the cousin was never in the picture as far as a potential appointee.
I think that's right. I think the evidence that was offered by the cousin has formed the qualifications in this problem to either serve as guardian or not to be the guardian.
Well, let's just assume for purposes of discussion that we agree that the guardian ad litem's report is not in evidence, and we determine that your client doesn't have priority in the statute, and you look to what the court did in the best interest of the proposed ward. So let's assume we agree that there's sufficient evidence for what the court did, but we don't have evidence of the qualifications of the third party. Could we send it back for a further hearing on the qualification?
Well, that's one option. I think we could, but I think we don't need that overcome the issue that there are no pleadings filed seeking the appointment of another party. If the judge found Mr. Hobble to be unqualified, I think he could do what you're suggesting at that point, but clearly the judge's order found Mr. Hobble to be qualified. In transcript page 32, the judge's order, he found that Ron Hobble did have a legitimate interest in protecting Vicki Hobble, and that Ronald had the ability to assist Vicki. So I think by that finding, he found Mr. Hobble to be competent. He just went on to determine that because there were some perceived conflicts between him and his cousin, that he'd appoint a third party rather than Mr. Hobble. I think that's contrary to Nebraska law.
But didn't the court also mention the distance issue that your client lives in California?
He did. It's a legitimate concern, but I don't think it's an overriding concern that he's qualified as serving on this case. There's a prior case I cited in my guardianship and conservatorship with Mueller in 2015. Kind of a similar situation where there's some disagreement between some of the parties, and the nominee lived in Kansas, and the court in that case found that because the nominee, the person who wanted to serve, had a legitimate concern and was competent, the fact that the person living in Kansas didn't disqualify from serving. It's not really in the record here, Mr. Hobble is a retired truck driver. He makes that trip from San Diego to Nebraska frequently. It's not like, for me, I've been in California most of my life as a huge undertaking. He was making that trip every other week, and so for him to come from San Diego to Nebraska is just part of what he's used to doing.
But yet he didn't know that his sister had moved to a new place for several months.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I think it goes to the incompetency of Vicki herself. Vicki lives very independently. She goes to church, she plays the piano at church, she engages socially with people, she goes to the store, the library, does things on her own. So it's not like she's an invalid in a nursing home. She goes out and gets rides and does things. She didn't want her brother to know that she had moved. And so even though they talked daily, she kept that from him because she thought
that in the record. It's
not in the record. But we didn't delve into it that far.
So it almost appears to me, as I look at this record, that while the court had a real interest in trying to help the sister, that because of the fact that there was this controversy in the cousin, because of the fact that from the distance from California to Nebraska, the court felt that it was in the best interest of that court to appoint a third person. So the question becomes who that third person should be. And problem that I've seen is that nothing has even been in the record that makes this person find the applicant to have to be.
That's right, man.
So it looks to me like, you know, one of the options we have would be to amend back the determination of proof that the court was correct prior to the guardian or death guardian, but that there needs to be a determination of proof that guardian check who's qualified. Which would open that back up for your client, possibly even open up for the defense.
Well, I think the lack of evidence requires a reversal question of what you do with it then. And Mr. Hobbold, I think the judge just found the fact that Vicki was going to live with him 5 to 6 months out of the year in San Diego. He spent a month with her in Hastings. So really, he was available to take care of all of her needs. I think maybe the judge discounted that or overlooked that fact. I'm out of time, so I have to stop.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator.
Thank you.
How much time did we take?
36 seconds.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May I please report? My name is Amy Stalker, and I am the court appointed guardian ad litem for the couple. Before I get into the actual merits of the case, I first want to raise an issue of jurisdiction in this matter. And I admit that that issue was not raised in my brief. However, jurisdiction is a matter that can be raised at any time, and the court on its own can make a determination as to whether or not it has jurisdiction to hear a particular case. And I raise this issue today in light of a very recent decision from this court that I stumbled upon, a decision that was entered about 3 weeks ago, actually. It was entitled In Re Guardianship and Conservatorship of the Trump. The opinion was filed on October 24th of 2017, and in that case, the issue was raised as to whether or not the county court order appointing a guardian and conservator was the actual final appealable order, or whether or not the appropriate time to file an appeal is after letters of guardianship have been issued. In that case, this court decided that the appropriate time to appeal is after letters of guardianship have been entered. And the reason for that is because the actual appointment of a guardian, guardianship and conservatorship does not take effect, or the guardian does not have authority until actual letters have been issued. In this case, I know you don't have a transcript in front of you. However, I would submit to the court that there are no letters of guardianship or conservatorship in the transcript, and I would submit to the court that's because letters have not been ever issued by the lower court. So in light of this decision that was just entered by this court a few weeks ago, I would argue that the appellant's appeal is premature, and that the court does not have jurisdiction to hear this appeal. However, should the court decide that it does in fact have jurisdiction, then I would ask that the court affirm the judgment of the lower court, because the county court was correct, and they did not err in failing to appoint Ronald, the brother, as guardian for the sister, Sir Vicki.
Is it problematic that the background checks and reports weren't done?
It's not, actually, Your Honor, and that goes back to this recent Hunt case, because the order that was issued by the court is not the final order. Typically what happens in cases such as this when they're contested is the court will enter an order. Thereafter, the prospective guardian files the reports. The parties and the court have an opportunity to review those reports to make a determination whether they are sufficient, and at that time, the letters are actually issued. So in this case, the reports weren't filed, but it's not necessary because that wasn't the final order of the court. Now, had the court issued letters without those reports being on file, that would have been error. However, it was an error in this case because the court's order actually was not actually the final order in this case. And for that reason, the evidence and the record in this case, I believe, is sufficient to warrant the court's finding that Ronald, the brother, was not a suitable candidate and was not Vicki's best interest to have him appointed as her guardian and conservator, The statute was clear that he does not have priority to serve.
Do you disagree with that preceding 6 months language? Is it your position it has to be immediately preceding 6 months?
I do, Your Honor.
Is there any authority?
I found no statutory authority or case law to suggest that you can bootstrap 3 years worth of visit statute in California in order to satisfy the 6 month requirement. So I would argue. I did not. But my position would be that he has not satisfied any of those priority requirements, and in cases the statute is clear that where there's no priority, then the court can appoint any competent person that it deems in the best interest. As I mentioned, I think the record is clear. There's sufficient evidence in the record as to why Ronald, the brother, was not an appropriate person, those reasons being, one, the specific finding about the geographical distance between the two siblings. Ronald had admitted that he's indebted to his sister, and remained at the time of trial, remained indebted to her.
That wasn't a factor mentioned specifically by the court.
Not specifically in the court's order, but it is evidence that's contained in the record to support, that would further support the court's finding. Also, there's evidence in the record that Ronald had previously tried to assist Vicki with some of her bank accounts that was not handled appropriately. She tried to balance in some of her checks. I think the record has sufficient evidence that Ronald, no doubt that he probably cares for his sister, but just wasn't the best person to be appointed as her guardian and conservator.
What do you think the record reflects as to the guardian who was appointed that makes that person best qualified officer?
Well, Your Honor, I think that goes back to the fact that the court's order was not an actual final order. I think after the court's order, there should have been the further reports that were filed, the further investigation and review of those reports by the parties and the court to ensure that the person appointed by the court was an appropriate person. If it was deemed after the court had access and the parties had access to those reports that she wasn't a competent or appropriate person, then there were motions or additional pleading and hearings could have been held on that matter. But at this point, I think it's premature to say that she wasn't competent because I think the appeal itself is premature.
As the guardian of item, is there anything in the record that reflects whether or not you agree with the community with the guardian?
There is, but it's part of the record that has been excluded by this court previously. And I could see that my guardian ad litem report was not offered or received into evidence, and that it was, should not be considered as evidence by this court or the lower court. Anything additional?
I have no further questions.
Thank you.
I realize the appellant's out of time, but Mr. Sinek, I give you an opportunity either today, if you'd like to respond to the jurisdiction issue that was raised today following the Hunt case, or if you would like some time to file a letter response to the jurisdiction issue.
If the court would grant a brief time for a written response, I think that would be more appropriate since I haven't raised the case.
So would it be acceptable if we give you 1 week from today to file a written response to the raising of the jurisdiction issue today?
Yes, Your Honor.
And would Appley want any additional time to respond to the response? Or
feel
confident in it? So that's what we'll do. We'll allow you a week from today to file a written response with the clerk of our court. And obviously for Ms. Falcon with the response. And we'll then deem the case submitted after that. Acceptable?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. With that then, you are excused. Our case is to be submitted following whatever response you choose to file.
Thank you.